T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, the Wichita Wingnuts are continuing their series tonight with the Sioux Falls Canaries. Head out to Wichita Wednesday at the Wingnuts game tonight, 7:05 at Lawrence Dumont Stadium. Every Wednesday, fans will get an awesome Wichita-related giveaway. Now, as it pertains to the big boys, we go to the Tad's Locker Room Hotline. RJ Anderson talking MLB's writer for CBSSports.com. Welcome back to the show, RJ. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing?
We're doing fine. I want to talk about the train wrecky stuff first before we get to the good part. We are here in Wichita, KFH, the home of the Royals, and we've had to, well, the last month has been a little trying, as you know, 8 losses in a row and something like 14 of 15, but they're not even the worst team in the American League. The Orioles are. How is that possible? How are they that bad?
Yeah, the Orioles have had basically everything go wrong for them that they could have go wrong for them. And, you know, there's not really one thing you can point to. I mean, Chris Davis is having possibly the worst season in baseball history, or one of the worst seasons in baseball history, which is not something you want to say about a guy who has multiple years and, you know, like $70 million remaining on his contract.
They're giving away free alcohol at Baltimore bars when he gets hits.
Yeah, that's never a good sign.
No, I don't think so.
You know, the good thing is I don't think that he's going to make any of those establishments go bankrupt. So he's going to be, you know, he might draw them in, you know, for the chance for free booze, but I don't think he's actually going to cause any of them to lose a ton of money. But, you know, they're just a bad team in basically every way, and they're going to start trading guys off like you've seen the Royals do, I have to imagine, over the next, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. And at that point, they're probably going to get worse somehow. And, you know, I wrote a piece back in, I believe it was March, about the 2003 Detroit Tigers. And everybody knows how the Tigers were just horrendous that season, and yet the Orioles are actually on pace to be worse than that Tigers team if you look at their current record. And, you know, I don't think it's likely that they finish that poorly, but they have a chance, and that's not something you want to hear said about your team in mid to late June.
RJ Anderson joining us, CBSSports.com, talking Major League Baseball. Kelvin Herrera moves to the Washington Nationals, who have had kind of a an unlucky streak, obviously, throughout the postseason, historically. Is this the piece that they needed? Obviously, Bryce Harper's got to start swinging the bat a little bit, and there's a couple of other things going on. But is this the big piece they needed at the back end? And where are you, bullish or no with the Nationals at this point?
Well, I picked the Nationals to represent the National League in the World Series back in spring, and I stuck with that pick because I still believe their best baseball is ahead. You know, they've had a lot of injuries, a lot of underperformance, and at some point you have to expect that everything will shake out and they will be fine and win that division. That said, you know, adding a guy like Herrera certainly helps their case. I don't know if he's necessarily, you know, the big piece, so to speak, but he gives them yet another veteran late-inning reliever to go with, you know, Sean Doolittle and Ryan Madsen, and even Brandon Kinstler and Sean Kelly, if you want to throw those guys in there. You know, they all have experience in the late innings. They also have a guy named Justin Miller, and he's a 31-year-old journeyman, and I think he struck out like 22 of the first 43 batters he's faced this season without issuing a walk and while allowing one home run. So on paper, at least, their bullpen could be a strength, and that's not what we were saying about their bullpen this time last year. So that's a credit to them. And, you know, you look at their roster, and if they can get healthy, if they can get guys like Daniel Murphy and Bryce Harper hitting again, then they have an argument to be the best team in the National League. And that's really all you can ask for from that team right now, given all they've been through this season.
Talking Major League Baseball with RJ Anderson, CBSSports.com. Remember when Giancarlo Stanton couldn't hit a ball?
You know, there was a lot of overreaction to everything he's done this season because, you know, that was always going to happen when you have the New York Yankees go out there and basically steal the reigning National League MVP, a guy who, you know, we were talking about potentially hitting 50 to 60 home runs this season in that ballpark. Everyone overreacted to, you know, the first game where he hit 2 home runs, and then he went on a slump, and he was getting booed at Yankee Stadium in his first game at Yankee Stadium. So, it doesn't surprise me that we're kind of going through the highs and lows of his season and maybe overreacting one way or the other. But rest assured, the guy didn't forget how to hit. I mean, he's too talented. He's too young to all of a sudden be, you know, a shell of his past self. He's going to be fine. He's probably going to finish with pretty good numbers, frankly, when it's all said and done. And, you know, it's kind of a shame that his season's going to be remembered more so for the bad times, I think, than the good. But that's life in New York. That's life as a Yankee, I suppose.
RJ, about middle of June, you start to get a sense for what you have or what you don't have. I think we understand who these teams are in a general way of speaking. 70-plus games into the season, are the Seattle Mariners real or a mirage?
So I would say they're a little bit of both. You know, you look at that roster and the names don't pop out to you. And you look at their record in one-run games, and you look at some of the performances they've gotten from their pitching staff over the last month, and you would probably say, you know what, this is not going to sustain. However, I think because of the state of the American League, the Mariners don't have to continue to play this well in order to earn a spot in the wild card game. And with the Angels not only having a slump as of late, but losing, I think it was like four guys to the DL just this weekend alone, you have to start to believe that, yeah, the Mariners are going to have enough to get into the postseason, even if they don't keep this up. So is it a great team on paper? Are they as good as the record suggests they are? Probably not. At the same time, are they likely to reach the postseason? I would say yes, just because of, you know, for one, their hot streak, and for two, the rest of the American League is kind of a mess when you're not talking about the Red Sox, the Yankees, and the Astros. And I guess you can throw the Indians in there, even though obviously they've had bullpen issues of their own.
Seattle goes 500 from here on out. They're 91-71. Hard as that might be to believe. To me, that's amazing. Staying in the West, RJ, a guy that, I don't want to say kind of was biding his time, but basically Shohei Ohtani had the spotlight with the Angels. Now he's been hurt, and all Mike Trout has done has just caught fire. He's hitting almost 700 in his last 37 plate appearances, which is otherworldly. Do we appreciate what Mike Trout has done so far, not only this season, but in his career? And what kind of a career arc do you see him going on? He's going to be one of the best of all time, is he not?
I think you can make a case he's the best player of all time already, just based on what he's put out there. And, you know, I don't think we appreciate him enough, because I think when you hear a statement like that, that he is on pace to be the best player of all time, there's normally, you know, this reaction to say, no, he's not. You know, I've seen X, Y, Z better. I mean, I saw a writer saying he's not Mickey Mantle this week. And hey, Mickey Mantle was a great player. Let's not, you know, pretend otherwise. But what Trout has done is basically unprecedented. I mean, he's been arguably the best player in baseball, or one of the top two or three players in baseball, since his first full season in the majors. And at no point over that time, unless he's been injured, has he dropped from that. I mean, even when he was hurt for an extended stretch, his numbers were as good or better than everyone else's. And, you know, he can do it all. You're a guy, he hits for average, he walks, he hits for power, he steals bases, he's improved his center field defense. He doesn't have the strongest arm, but, you know, when I just list off everything else he can do you really care how well he throws for the most part? So he is a fantastic talent. He's a Hall of Famer unless something ridiculous happens off the field. Because I think, you know, if he suffered a career-ending injury tomorrow, I think he'd still get in.
I think he would, too.
Yeah, so he's just a phenomenal talent. No, I don't think we appreciate him enough, because I don't think we appreciate any transcendent talent like that enough in their time and period. You know, I think we always need the benefit of hindsight and the benefit of, you know, looking back in order to properly appreciate guys like Trout.
Getting closer to the trade deadline, and there's some pretty obvious buyers and sellers developing right now. Give us a few potential surprise buyers or potential surprise sellers in your estimation, realizing that we've got another month and change till we get to this point. But who are the teams to watch, do you think, outside of the obvious ones?
Yeah, I think the obvious ones are probably, you know, everyone I was going to name. As far as a surprise, maybe, I don't know if you'd include the Phillies and Braves in that category, because obviously they're both still right there in the race. But I guess on the surprise seller side, I would say that maybe the Oakland Athletics, if they decide, you know, they don't want to try to chase the Mariners' tails at this point, they could perhaps try to move a guy like Chris Davis. You know, they have some other interesting pieces there too. Trevor Cahill, when he's been healthy this season, has been very effective in the rotation. And, you know, the A's can justify keeping those guys. and trying to push for a 500 or better record, give themselves a winning season to build upon for next year. But I guess that's one of the surprise sellers I'd have in mind. And otherwise, I don't know that anyone's necessarily jumping to my mind. I don't think anyone in the National League West, for instance, is going to decide to sell other than maybe the Padres, who we all kind of expected. So I guess that's kind of a boring answer. But just based on, you know, how the divisions have shook out, there's not really that many surprise teams that are, you know, underperforming or overperforming outside of, like, Seattle, Atlanta. And I guess, if you really want to stretch, you can include Philadelphia in that bunch. But, yeah, I guess that's a boring answer, but I don't really have anyone in mind who's a big surprise.
Gotcha.
You brought up the A's, Chris Davis, the good one. The guy spelled with a K, not a C, to clear it up. We talk about both Chris Davises. RJ Anderson from CBSSports.com, MLB writer, joining us. In this day and age of sabermetrics and advanced numbers, can you, you know, for old guys like me and Bruce that think that runs, hits, RBIs, wins, on-base percentage, all that stuff is important, which one of those stats has kind of gone by the wayside as far as judging a player's worth and how good he is, pitcher or position player?
I guess I would give you one for each, wins and losses for pitchers, because I think we're at the point now where everyone kind of understands that it's a team game. And, you know, to use an example right now, Jacob DeGrom has been just phenomenal his last 10 or so times out. And I think the Mets are like 2-8 in those games because they can't score runs for him, even though he's got like a 1 ERA or something absurd like that. So, you know, pitchers won, those are pretty much irrelevant nowadays. On the hitter side, I would say RBI because, we understand that it's sort of a within the context of a team. If you're a Joey Votto and you don't have anyone hitting in front of you who's all that good, you're not going to have as many RBIs as if you're, you know, the sixth place hitter on the Yankees or what have you. So those are the two numbers. You know, I'm actually someone who still finds value in batting average. I know, you know, I'm supposed to ignore batting average and I'm not supposed to care about it, but I still think there's value in knowing how a hitter gets his on-base percentage and how he gets his slugging percentage. And I don't think, you know, that's something that we should just throw away, even though in the past, perhaps, you know, batting average was overvalued or at least overstated as a, you know, as the metric for hitters. So I guess that's my answer. You know, wins and losses and RBIs, you can kind of overlook them, but I wouldn't throw batting average away just yet.
RJ, a team that I cover every day is the Colorado Rockies. By the way, John Gray was up in the bullpen with Wade Davis on in the ninth last night, trying to hold on and win a game, which they eventually did against the Mets. I found that to be interesting. And Brian Shaw and Wade Davis right now, $50 million bullpen, can't get anybody out. And I mean nobody out. But be that as it may, I watch a guy every single day that I just don't think gets his just deserves. So let's give some to him right now. Nolan Arenado is an absolutely drop-dead gold glove third baseman. He can hit for average, he can hit for power, and he can do it anywhere. I don't want to hear about the Coors Field effect because it tends to be the immediate default of detractors. Is that really fair, or do we just not appreciate this guy for what he's been able to mean to the game of baseball? I mean, I think he and Manny Machado would be the two best hot corner guys in the game, aren't they?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think Arenado is probably the best now that Machado has back to shortstop. And, you know, the course factor, people like to use that a lot. I don't know if it's 100% fair because I'm not sure how well we actually account for force field in these park adjustment stats. And I don't know that we're ever really going to account for it 100%. So when you look at even his park adjusted numbers, I mean, they're phenomenal. And that's the end of the story if you really believe in those things. But it seems like the only time we actually talk about course impact and how maybe we don't really adjust for it well enough is when we want to detract from a player. And in Arenado's case, you know, saying that, oh, our numbers aren't precise enough to really claim that he's as good as his adjusted numbers look is basically just used to say he's not one of the top, you know, 5 to 10 players in baseball. So I think we have to, you know, consider that. And I think he's, you know, I definitely think he's one of the best players in baseball. As you mentioned, you know, he's an outstanding third baseman who does it all offensively. He's still, you know, in the prime of his career, so possible he gets a little bit better. And yeah, I don't know. I'd take him. If I were starting a team right now, I'd tell you he'd be at the top of my list of guys I'd like to take because he's just an outstanding player. And, you know, when he was coming up as a prospect, he wasn't really known as a good defensive third baseman. So it's a testament to his work ethic and his professionalism that he's been able to develop into a guy who, again, we're both kind of agreeing is probably the best defensive third baseman in baseball. So, yeah, he checks all the boxes for me, and it's unfortunate that Horsfield might overshadow what's been an outstanding career for him, and it's unfortunate that it's overshadowed outstanding careers for guys like Todd Helton and Larry Walker as well.
True.
Yeah, and it's not like there aren't great hitters' parks, you know, popping up relatively recently throughout the major leagues. I mean, whatever they call the one in Arizona, that's a hitter's park. You know, Camden Yards is a hitter, but they're probably more hitters.
Joey Votto's won MVPs because of Cincinnati.
Great American Small Park.
Don't even get me started.
Are there any pitcher's parks left, RJ?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the National League West has L.A. and San Francisco and Petco, and those three are considered pitcher's parks. And then you have, you know, Oakland with all that foul ground, that's a pitcher's park. But, you know, to your point, yeah, there are other players who benefit from hitter's parks who we don't really punish like we do with Arenado and the Coors guys. And, you know, we've seen guys leave Coors and still be successful hitters. I mean, Matt Holliday, I certainly don't think Troy Tulowitzki's downfall was because of the ballpark. I think it was because of his body. And, you know, we can keep listing guys off here. But, yeah, bottom line,
sure.
I mean, Corey Dickerson's another guy. He left Coors, and I think he's had his best season since leaving Coors in, like, the 3 or 4 years since. So, yeah, it's a tricky thing. And while I understand, you know, the arguments about the accuracy of these park-adjusted metrics and all, I think sometimes we take it a little too far.
RJ, great stuff as always. CBSSports.com is where you can find him. Thanks so much.
Thanks, RJ.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. RJ Anderson, CBSSports.com, Major League Baseball writer. Again, a reminder for our KFH listeners, this is exclusively for you. MyPillow.com, two-pack special. Click on that and then enter the promo code KFH. You get two premium MyPillows for one very, very low price, plus free shipping. For all you folks that go online for everything that you need, you know free shipping is key. And these two pillows, along with free shipping, basically Christmas comes early for you. I've been telling you about my sleep that's improved over the last couple of months. I've been sleeping on a MyPillow. Now you can experience the same kind of sleep I've been getting from MyPillow. MyPillow.com. Click on the two-pack special. Just for our listeners, KFH is a promo code, or you can call 800-978-9442 if you want. But go to MyPillow.com. Check it out. Click on the two-pack special. Surf around. I think you'll like what you see, and you'll definitely love what you feel. 60-day money-back guarantee from MyPillow. Promo code KFH. Twitter question is up next on Sports Daily.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.